the turnout for last weekend's constitutional referendum in Egypt, 41% of the country's 45 million eligible voters, a resounding yes to change, and many got to cast a proper vote for the first time in their lives, and the mood was reportedly euphoric, apart from a bit of a punch-up in Cairo. But the result means that a parliamentary vote could now take place as soon as next September. The so-called Facebook generation voted against the changes, arguing they didn't go far enough, and they want the constitution to be completely rewritten before any new elections. The military and the largest party, Mubarak's National Democratic Party and the Muslim Brotherhood, both supported the changes, and they would clearly be advantaged by being well organised for a prompt election. It's good to be joined from Cairo by Iris Mackler. These days a freelance journalist working with the CBC in Cairo, but you will remember her as the ABC's Moscow correspondent. Welcome back, Iris. It's been a long time.
It's a pleasure to talk to you from here.
Just to digress to Libya for a moment, the head of the Arab League and a contender for the Egyptian presidency, who was appealing for a no-fly zone, has now criticised it. How's that being understood in Egypt, Iris?
It's been taken, there's been a reaction of confusion, I think, in Egypt and also in the West, because it was on the basis of that plea by the Arab League for action that the United Nations agreed to impose a no-fly zone. And only 24 hours earlier in Paris, we heard Hillary Clinton explaining that it was on the basis of the Arab League's commitment to the process that it had gone ahead. So there was shock everywhere, including actually in Cairo itself. And this morning, my time, so very short time ago, still night time your time, what we heard was a press conference with Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, and Amr Moussa trying to paper over these cracks and to make it seem as if he was backtracking. And what he is now saying is that, yes, the Arab League does support a no-fly zone, but no, it doesn't want any more than that. It doesn't want to see bombardments because he wants to protect Libyan civilians. So it's not a very clear line in terms of what's going on at the moment. He's sort of in and he's sort of out, and people here are confused.
Okay. You describe people on the streets of Cairo as being giddy with happiness. That must be quite an experience.
It was wonderful, actually. I haven't had that kind of journalistic experience where you pull out your microphone and people mob you to speak to you in English, to let you know their opinions. And one man said to me, in fact, many people told me how very happy they were, and one said, all 85 million of the people in Egypt today are happy, 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 happy. You know, it was that kind of feeling. And it was very long queues.
Iris, that's why people want to talk to you, because you're happy, happy, happy. You see? People rush to your microphone.
Oh, yeah,
moss,
always.
Moss to the lamp. Now, look, let's just whiz through what the limits to the presidency amount to. 2 4-year terms, that's the max. There's got to be a vice president, and he must consult for approval to impose a state of emergency. What's this about not having a non-Egyptian wife?
Yes, and having only being only of Egyptian blood himself. Those are two of the slightly more strange amendments. I think that it's a reaction to the fact that Mubarak's wife, Suzanne, had an Irish mother, and she wasn't very popular here. So the feeling is that that they don't want a repeat of that, and even the threat of that could be a repeat of Suzanne.
What do you reckon about the Facebook Gen's argument that not enough time is available to consider important changes to the constitution rather than comparatively superficial ones?
They did persuade me, because it was only 10 days. It was a very conservative committee that was considering these changes and proposing these amendments that were voted on. And they were scared that it wasn't enough, that it was too soon, and that it might actually bind people. You know, that if they'd just taken a bit more time, it would be better for them in the long run. But most of the people that I spoke to, it really was an age divide, as well as perhaps a religious one. Anybody who runs a business here, anybody who's slightly older, they just want stability. They feel that there's paralysis and that they want to get the country back on track. They want to be able to pay their workers. And I think that's why they voted yes.
And the Supreme Military Council is very much in favour of yes, and it's also warned against plans to stage a mass protest against the referendum.
Yes, and you know, this is another interesting thing, is people do protest. They return to Tahrir Square, not in the numbers, of course, that we saw during the revolution. But, you know, there are quite... The army comes down on them quite hard. Some people I would actually describe as having been tortured within the past 10 days by when the army came in and just booted them out and beat them black and blue, used stun guns on them, you know, cut their hair off with some broken bottles. It was a very significant attack.
Well, so much of that hasn't been seen in the outside world because everyone's been preoccupied with Japan.
Japan and Libya, you're right. That's right. We don't. These things now appear small, but if you're an activist in Cairo, they're very significant and very frightening.
Now, there are changes, of course, inevitably being called for across all parts of society. And the once revered Al Ahram newspaper, the journos have forced the resignation of the editor-in-chief.
They want to force the resignation of the editor-in-chief. Some journalists there had to actually protect him from physical violence. And one of them said to me, you know, I think he was a disaster as an editor, but they didn't have to beat him up. I thought that was quite funny. But what they are trying to do is to get him out, because Al Ahram is this venerable, you know, 1875, it was formed. In the 1950s, Nasser nationalised it. And it's been a mouthpiece of the government. And the question is, how do you go from being Mubarak's mouthpiece to suddenly being a proper independent newspaper? And that's a very, very hard transition. And one of the journalists actually said that the revolution in Tahrir was easy compared to the revolution they're going to have to do inside the newspaper.
And, of course, anyone who was uncomfortably close to Mubarak or the wife would be worried about their jobs. I'm thinking about the boss of the new library in Alexandria, because it was Mrs. Mubarak's special project. So you'd be looking over your shoulders now, wouldn't you?
You would. I mean, it's a very odd thing, because one of the journalists at Al Ahram said that in fact, you know, we can't just replace loyalty to the president with loyalty to the new rulers. So there's all these games that people play in, as a society like this cracks open, which is, you know, I was a pet of the old regime. Do I quickly have to run and make myself a pet of the new regime, even if the new regime is only temporary? So there's all that looking over your shoulder, trying to suss out you have to kowtow to next, instead of just thinking about doing your job.
It's always been a bit like that at the ABC too, really, as regimes come and go. Not that you know anything about that, Iris, but it's just terrific to talk to you. Just very quickly, I understand there's a thing called Harris Map, a system to denote harassment areas via SMS for local women.
Yes, you know, it's amazing how difficult it is for ordinary women, you know, women wearing headscarves, women covered up, Egyptian women, tourists, females, anybody who's here, it's very hard for them to walk down the street. And women's group is starting this system where you SMS your location if you're being harassed, and they put it on a map so that women know where it's dangerous to walk, and they inform the media and the police.
I think the cops are going to need a Harris map as well. I think life's going to get very difficult for Egyptian Christians. Iris, thank you for your time. Iris Makler, freelance journalist, reporting to us from Cairo. And after a little bit of music, a little bit of bridging music, we're going to introduce you to the director of the British Museum, Neil McGregor. So please be upstanding and behave yourselves.